Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I tell you, I guess we got to start with the Warriors. I mean, I don't like to be too obvious, but that's obviously the talk of the NBA right now. What do you make of the whole Draymond Green situation, Kevin Durant dust up, and where do you think it's going to go from here?
Well, I mean, my first impulse is to downplay these things because so often what looks like, you know, an explosive situation and something that's just seems like the end of the world because of the world that we live in. Everything gets, you know, amplified and, you know, extrapolated and distorted sometimes because we see the replays over and over ad nauseum, and social media makes it all seem bigger than it is. But so my impulse is to say, let's not overreact. On the other hand, you know, Durant's free agency is a real issue. That Draymond Green invoked it in the midst of a tense moment is not something that we can dismiss. That Durant really was taken aback by it can't be dismissed. And that the Warriors responded the way they did by suspending Draymond for a game for presumably, based on the reporting, some of the language that was used by him in that exchange. You know, to me, it's more alarming than just the usual, oh, two teammates had a shouting match on the bench. Like, that happens. Disagreements in the moment happen, but this seems bigger because of all those things that I mentioned. And listen, there had already been speculation and more than speculation, a belief by a lot of people around the league that Durant might be playing his last season there. And so this certainly stirs up that concern.
Yeah, clearly there had to be something that was said that was over the line, because like you said, we see these arguments happen, take place, and we hear about them if we don't see them pretty much all the time. And for them to actually suspend Draymond, do you think that's going to have a lasting impact? I mean, that's $120,000 that Draymond loses out on a situation where I'm not sure he feels like he was in the wrong.
Well, certainly folks in the Bay Area, good friends of mine who were reporting on this story in depth, you know, Marcus Thompson and others for The Athletic in particular, the sense that they've gotten is that, you know, this was the organization, you know, kind of, you know, rallying to Durant's side in a sense by suspending Draymond. And, you know, unless there's more to this that we still haven't heard, I'm not sure if anything that Draymond said or did rises to the level of a one-game suspension,
right?
And the cost that goes with that by the forfeiture of a salary for one game, I haven't seen anything yet from the union in terms of a grievance, which that, you know, they can do, they can challenge it, and you have to have under the collective bargaining agreement certain grounds to suspend a guy, and you know that they cited it as conduct detrimental. That's a pretty broad concept, of course. But yeah, it's interesting to see that the Warriors, whether that's because they're fearful of losing Durant and they want to make sure that he feels fully supported, or whether they just thought that Draymond really stepped that far over the line, it's not clear to me.
Yeah, tough one to figure out, but very interesting stuff. Howard Beck joins us, senior writer, Bleacher Report. The Warriors team in disarray. But no, I totally agree with you, Howard, that you tend to overreact to this stuff, but there might be something here this time. Will it have any effect on the Warriors' chances to win a championship? I guess we'll all find out. But what are your thoughts going forward once Green returns to the court, once Steve Kerr is able to get everybody back together and talk again? I mean, is this Warrior destiny in any danger of ending sooner than we expect?
I still don't think so. One, we're in November, and there's plenty of time for these things to be patched up. Now, there's plenty of time for things to get re-stoked again, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess I could go either way. But I tend to think, like, these two guys, they know each other really well. Draymond was the chief recruiter to bring Durant there. They know who each other are. They know what's up. their relationship, their understanding of each other goes far beyond, I think, what we all can appreciate from the outside. And so I tend to think that they'll be fine. You know, I've always said, and it's not an original thought, that the Warriors were the heavy favorites, barring injury or fatigue, boredom, or somehow, you know, a erosion of their chemistry. And if you want to point this as an erosion of chemistry, well, in the moment, that's certainly the case. But I don't think it will be long lasting. And I still think that, yeah, at full strength, unless they, you know, tear themselves apart, nobody else is capable of taking them down. I do think that whoever they meet in the finals, probably Boston or Toronto, those are the teams that I would bank on at this point. I think those are both teams that are equipped to push them to the limits. But I don't, you know, to me, it's still the Warriors to lose because of the talent that they have.
Howard Beck joins us from senior writer for the Bleacher Report, joins us here on Glenn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Howard, let's speaking of the Celtics, let's move over to them. They're sitting at 7-6. We saw how well they played last year without Gordon Hayward. They seem to be struggling. What do you think's going on in Boston?
Well, there's multiple things, I think. Not least of which is just the fact of trying to reincorporate Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. You know, Hayward having missed an entire season, Kyrie having missed, you know, the big chunk toward the end and all the playoffs. And they return to a team of empowered young players, Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, guys who got a lot of run in the playoffs in their absence, guys who performed really well and took LeBron's team to 7 games in the conference finals without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. And so, you know, it's hard to take a step back and you know, try to find your place to still be assertive, still have that swagger that you kind of acquired along the way, but also know that you've got 2 veteran all-stars who kind of need to run the show. On top of that, Al Horford's been struggling with his shot some. He's at an age where there's always concern, like, which year is going to be the one where he starts to erode a little bit. I don't know if that's happening yet. And Hayward's just not himself yet. Like, Hayward, you know, look, the guy was off for an entire year, and it was a really, as we know, a pretty rough injury. So, you know, Hayward is still, I think, getting his legs back under him. You know, there's good case to be made that maybe they need to reshuffle the deck a little bit, and maybe Hayward should be coming off the bench. Maybe they should be giving Jason Tatum, those opportunities. With that, you know, if Hayward's not in the starting lineup, you know, Tatum has that much more room to spread his wings, right? So there's any number of ways to look at this. Brad Stevens, I think, has a tough puzzle on his hands. I think that was always going to be the case. Their strength is incredible depth, but it comes with the challenge of keeping everybody comfortable, happy, and getting enough minutes and shots.
I think something also to point out, Howard Beck is with us. I was noticing today earlier, the Celtics have only played 4 home games this whole season. Tonight's their 5th, so every now and again that can be a factor in a team getting off
Absolutely.
A bit of a slower start. Howard Beck joins us from Bleacher Report. The one team we haven't mentioned yet, and I was a little, not surprised, but you left them out when you talked about Eastern Conference, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. You still think it's Toronto-Boston to win the East, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with you. What are your thoughts, though, on the Sixers acquiring Jimmy Butler? And if it does leave them short of competing with those other 2 teams for the East top spot, what does Philadelphia still need to do to get there?
So I look at the Jimmy Butler trade in 2 ways. It's a great trade, but I'm not sure if it's the right deal. It's a great trade in that you got Jimmy Butler, a top, whatever you want to call him, 12, top 15 player, for 2 solid starters, but, you know, nothing more than that, and a second-round pick. It's an incredible deal. You make that deal every single time. Now, great trade doesn't necessarily mean great deal for your team, because then you have to bring in all the caveats. Caveats being, 1, Jimmy Butler is a pretty big personality who wants to run the show, who wants to have the spotlight, and he's joining a team where 2 guys, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who are young and just now, you know, enjoying that spotlight and already have a little bit of an uneasy partnership as it is with each other. So you've now got this 3-way battle for control of the offense. I'm not saying that these are 3 selfish guys. I'm not saying this definitely won't work. I'm not suggesting that it's a problem automatically. I'm just saying that is a challenge they have to overcome. And people there, admit this freely. They know this within the team. And that's the sense around the league, too, that, well, there's a lot of talent there, but it may be a delicate balance when it comes to the personalities as well as, you know, shot distribution and control of the ball. Jimmy likes to have the ball in his hands a lot. Ben Simmons has to have the ball in his hands because that's his whole game. And they still probably don't have enough shooting. Like, three-point shooting, ever since they lost Ilyasova and Bellinelli in the offseason in free agency, they just haven't had enough three-point shooting. And they're also now a little thin at power forward after trading away Saric. Wilson Chandler started there tonight. He's still coming back from injury, still getting his legs back under him, yeah. And he's had a very injury-marred run the last several years. So they still have concerns. I mean, there's a lot of talent there, but they still have concerns.
Yeah, there's no doubt 76ers, once they get everything situated, I think they'll be a team that can make a little bit of noise in the playoffs. Howard, we certainly appreciate your time, and we look forward to having you back on.
My pleasure, fellas. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.